Governor Scott Walker criticizes Mary Burke for outsourcing jobs. Meanwhile, the Trek Bicycle Company criticizes Governor Walker for that latest ad. Democrats urge Walker to stop defending the state's gay marriage ban, and Walker calls for the repeal of Common Core education standards. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Those are some of the top state stories in politics that we will cover during this edition of the Week in Review. We will also cover top national and international issues as well, including getting reaction to the news of this missile shooting down a Malaysia Airlines plane in Ukraine. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you would like to weigh in on any of these issues or if you have another issue you would like us to discuss during the Week in Review. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. Dan Kopanky is a former Republican state senator from La Crosse and owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Joy.
And Georgia Durslotti is with us, a professor of political science at Beloit College. Good morning, Georgia.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Georgia.
Well, let's start with the international news. There's no word on whether any Americans were on board the Malaysia Airlines plane that was reportedly shot down. A missile to air strike of this this Malaysia Airlines plane over Ukraine yesterday. It is unclear which side shot that missile. President Obama called the downed jet a terrible tragedy and said the U.S. will offer any assistance possible to figure out what happened. Well, Dan Kopanky, your reaction first to this incident.
Well, it's a very tragic occurrence, certainly premeditated. They have been shooting down planes earlier in the week, I understand. Cargo planes were two or three of them. And, you know, what we have to do as a country now is help the Ukrainians, assist them in finding out exactly who is responsible, where did they get these weapons, and it's suspected that they came from Russia. Because there are only a few countries that have this capability, that's our challenge right now. And then when we actually get to the bottom of who did it, who supplied the missile, then the big question is what are we as a country going to do? How are we going to respond to this very, very tragic incident?
Your reaction, Georgia?
Very similar to Dan's. We are challenged by what to do with Russia and the Ukraine, and this certainly is provocation. We need to tread very carefully. There is some pretty strong international law that if we cross, we put ourselves in really a different category. And to figure out exactly what's happening, who's doing it. I mean, it could be as frustratingly dangerous as rogue rebels who now have this technology not doing what the master who gave it to them would want them to do. And, you know, we're in a very tenuous situation with all of this, and we need to move with great caution. I think Dan pretty much lays out what needs to happen.
If it is, Dan, which I've read too, maybe a case of, you know, it's a mistake that the pro-Russia separatists, the rebels had been shooting down cargo planes and they thought that this was a cargo plane. Does that make any difference if it was just a mistake?
I'm not sure it does. It makes it more tragic, of course, because they're a passenger plane and there's like 300 on board, but just the same, they had been shooting down cargo planes, and I heard there was up to 50 on board passengers on one of these planes. That's what I heard anyway in the news. I'm not sure it makes any difference. These are terrorist acts. We're killing people, And again, somebody has to be accountable, and we have to find out who that is, and then we have to take some measured steps. I don't think we can just let this go, especially if we have, again, it's been reported that there's possibly some Americans on board. And if Americans aren't bored, then we have to play a bigger role.
Yeah, John McCain said on MSNBC that there would be hell to pay if the plane was shot down by the Russian military or the separatists. Georgia Drislotti, should there be hell to pay if that's the case?
We always should approach military action with great care. And McCain is fiery. He's flamboyant, especially around military issues. Do we really want to open doors that are almost impossible to close? I think not. So what kind of hell to pay? It's much easier to toss such verbiage out than to make it real in international policy. And we need to move with great care.
Yeah, and Dan, what should the price be? If Russia supplied the weapon, or you know, it was the pro-Russian side that did this?
Well, it seems over the last maybe 6-8 months, a year, that Putin has been kind of running roughshod. He hasn't been held in check by anybody. It seems like we're taking a more pacifist view of things in the world under this administration. And so when that happens, we're downgrading our military. There's a leadership power void in the world scene. I think this is what happens, and I think it's time that we step up, and we have to challenge President Putin. If we can determine that, in fact, this is one of his missiles that they produce for these separatists, if you will, and if they are the ones indeed that did it. I know that Putin's trying to blame the Ukrainian government forces in doing this, but we have to get to the bottom of it, and then we have to take certainly a strong, measured step.
Mm-hmm. Georgia, you're trying to say?
Yeah, it's no doubt that Putin's been pulling chains in the world and asserting Russia as a superpower again. I think it is quite inappropriate to say we're taking a pacifist role in the world, and the downgrading of the military comes as much from a Congress that doesn't want to spend money on anything led by Republicans, and particularly certain factions that are hard for mainstream Republicans to control. So the void in world leadership comes from a number of sources, and Putin is taking advantage of the way the world is structured now in terms of superpower politics. Russia wants to be a superpower again. We need to be real careful not to walk into another war that's really hard to get out of.
Let me bring in Adam from Platteville.
To have strategic issues that we are dealing with for it.
Adam in Platteville, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening to this, and I think the single greatest issue of this whole conversation is the fact that we're getting involved in the first place. I have heard so many politicians pushing for greater sanctions and greater pressure on Russia, so much so that they had another G summit of some sort and things like that, and it's just like, can we just quit making the rest of the world hate us long enough to get ourselves out of everybody else's business and let them take care of themselves? Because I'm tired of seeing good men and women that are soldiers for this country going and fighting a war, and it doesn't even have anything to do with the American people. Mm-hmm. It happened with Iraq. It didn't have anything to do with us. Somebody lied to us, said there's weapons of mass destruction. A bunch of soldiers died. I had a friend that got an IED through the cab of his Humvee and almost died to go fight a war for some politician that didn't know anything.
Thank you, Adam. So it's none of our business. Stay out of it. Dan, what do you say to that?
Well, the big question here is the world a safer place if the United States is not engaged in world affairs or is engaged? And my answer to that would be that the United States as a power needs to be engaged. And I think that if you go back over the previous 3 or 4 presidents and administrations, including President Clinton, that you would not see President Putin acting as he is today.
Georgia?
I think we're at a different moment in history than we were with the last three presidents, and that speaks a lot to why President Putin is acting as he is today. I, like Dan, disagree with Adam. We need to act on the world stage. We need to be engaged on the world stage. The question is how best to do so. And it is certainly true that President Obama prefers multilateral approaches to unilateral approaches, which President Bush used very decisively, and we ended up in all sorts of world situations that I think Adam would disagree with.
Let me switch to other international news. Israeli troops are pushing deeper into Gaza to destroy rocket launching sites and tunnels. It launched a ground operation yesterday after 10 days of airstrikes aimed at stopping Hamas rocket fire going into Israel. The U.S. says Israel has a right to defend itself, but wants Israel to limit itself to a precise operation, concerned about civilian casualties. How concerned are you, Georgia, about this this conflict expanding into something even bigger?
The Middle East is a tinderbox, has been for decades. We always need to be concerned about what's happening there, and yet this feels all too familiar. Trying to avoid civilian casualties in a place as crowded as Gaza, when Palestinians actually, those launching missiles, etc., put their operations very close to civilians, is difficult. On the other hand, we know that the Israelis are among the best military forces on earth in terms of defending themselves. Of course, the U.S. wants to make sure that they can defend themselves, but also to call for greater care is the right stance to be taking right now.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Well, Israel is surrounded by many, many terrorist groups and governments that really want to do away with them. So when they are attacked by the Hamas on the Palestinians, you can't blame Israel for wanting to defend themselves. And to call on Israel to be careful about civilian casualties, how about the Hamas? I mean, who's calling on them? They're the ones that started this. So I think that the response by Israel should be anticipated, and they will defend themselves to the end. They are a strong power in the Middle East right now, and they are allies of the United States, and we need them.
Yeah, there was a die-in staged at the White House by pro-Palestinian activists this week, calling on the United States to tell Israel to pull out of Gaza, to stop the occupation, stop the settlement of the Gaza Strip. Georgia, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. And, Israel will defend itself. Given the geopolitics of the region, they will defend themselves. What we also have to remember is that Palestinians have some rights to the region as well. And as we are moving forward and trying to bring peace to the region, which is a perennial challenge for U.S. presidents and our diplomatic corps, how they do it, what they're going to do with it. It is absolutely to be anticipated, as Dan said, that the Israelis will defend themselves. The expansion into Gaza is one way of doing that, but it is also a way that causes more problems. So pulling back makes sense for long-term peace in the region. It does not. It is not likely that they're going to do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Well, again, they had a ceasefire here, and as soon as the ceasefire was over, the militants, Palestinian militants, started, sending rockets over again. I heard up to 50. Are they intent on peace? Is that the way they want to do it? Well, they're going to be, encountered with an onslaught from Israel. If that's what happens. So, if intent on peace, then there are other ways to pursue that goal.
We will move on to some other issues. We'll talk next after the break about the search in Wisconsin for space to shelter the children, the refugees coming to the United States from Central America. And we'll wonder if that's a good idea or not. We'll ask both of our guests and you, and we'll talk about other top stories in state politics as well. What would you like to talk about? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is The Week in Review, talking this week with Georgia Durst-Lottie, a professor of political science at Beloit College, and Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse and owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Dan Kopanky and Georgia Durst-Lottie, talking about the top international, national, and state stories of the week. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in with a comment, with a view on one of the things we're discussing, or if you'd like to bring up a different topic. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. All right, well, back here in Wisconsin, Milwaukee and Madison trying to find a space that would meet federal standards for temporarily housing unaccompanied children entering the U.S. from Mexico. Madison Mayor Paul Soglin said the city would have no responsibilities for the facility, and he sees no negatives in finding space for these child refugees. The shelter would house up to 250 children for up to 2 months. So is this a good thing for Wisconsin cities to get involved with, Dan Kopanky?
I don't think so. I think the question is how did this happen that all of a sudden we have thousands of children coming to the borders of Texas and into this country? How did that happen? It almost seemed like a coordinated effort. And I really believe what we need to do is discourage these people from coming. Number one, why would anybody want these young people to be away from their families? I'm sure that there are family situations that are not healthy down there and all of that, but disregarding that and just addressing the fact that many of these are leaving their parents and their families to come here to this country, I think is not a good idea. And so I really think we need to discourage this from happening. And the best way to do that is by sending them back to their families. And I think we need to follow the laws that we have in place right now as far as immigration is concerned in this country.
Yeah, even if sending them back would send them into danger, the laws say there should be a hearing to see if they can be safely sent back.
Yeah, I get that. And I do understand that. But okay, so we have a group of thousands coming from this area. What about worldwide? I mean, we have so many family situations, and are they all going to come here? And are we all going to allow that to happen? It's not a good sign for the United States for taking these people in and housing them away from their families. That's the key for me, is that they're away from their families.
All right. Well, Georgia, what do you think?
I think Dan's totally missed the point of the problem here. We are following laws. They are here. We can simultaneously work to discourage, but we have opportunities here to process and resolve these situations faster. I absolutely think Wisconsin should be involved in this. It's jobs. It's some contribution to the economy of either of these cities. We actually have highly trained, well-educated workforce who could jump in on this. And we're talking about a very short period of time in order to process them, in order to decide which direction they go in following the national laws. What Dan just said missed the point of this part of the problem entirely. I think many of us can agree that we need to figure out how to not have the children come, but they're here.
Yeah,
so let's deal with them well.
Yeah, so those who are already here, Dan, you say what?
Well, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that on the news I saw the Reverend Jackson say that this $3.7 billion that the president's requesting should go to kids in, you know, in the United States. And I think he was speaking to Chicago specifically. I mean, that's a pretty good argument. And so I think we should probably do more maybe in these individual countries where these kids are coming from to help them in their situations down there in their country, in their homeland, rather than encouraging, again, to leave their families and come here. Georgie, you make a point. They're here. Now we have to deal with them. That is so true. We have to in a humane manner, no question about it. But again, I would ask, how did this all of a sudden happen that they just started showing up here? It just seems like there's some kind of a coordinated effort that allowed this to happen.
Yeah, what do you think? Why so many? They're saying at least 50,000 children from Central America have entered the U.S. Georgia, why is this happening?
Well, I think in places where your children are in danger from a number of different threats, many of them that we in the United States can't really imagine in terms of death squads and highly coercive police, security forces. You know, we have a hard time imagining what's happening there. So there is apparently a loophole in the immigration law. It became known. What constitutes a coordinated effort? Is it the incentive structure that's in place that becomes known and then moves throughout communities who are trying to protect their children? I think it is at least that, and then will economic opportunity drive organizing coyotes and others to make this work faster? Probably. I don't think it has to be sinister to try to get your children out of harm's way, and I think that's a big part of what's happening here. Now, what do we do about it? And then how do we go back, as Dan said, to those communities and do more to stop them from coming our way?
Let's take a call from Sam in Milwaukee. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, Joy?
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, first off, I think that you can't say with a straight face that the people of Wisconsin wouldn't be paying to house anyone up here. As it's a federal program, at least everyone with a job still pays federal taxes and supports that. And I understand what the guest is talking about. I've spent a lot of time in Mexico City and in other countries around the world with horrible governments and standards of living, but I don't really see a long line of Democrats willing to adopt kids from those countries. I'm sure the guest has already attempted to do something like that, but I don't have the money to continue supporting those kinds of people, and we barely have enough money for the actual Americans living in poverty.
All right, so Sam says the people of Wisconsin will be paying for this, and Georgia Durslotti, are you going to adopt one?
I think I'll get on that adoption right away. you know, a very specious argument there. Federal taxes come from all of us. I come back to what do we do to solve the immediate problem in front of us. I'm glad Sam understands what the conditions are like in these countries with drug cartels and other things. So what do we do with the kids now? 1 to 2 months. You know, let's follow our laws. Let's process them properly. Let's send the ones back who should be sent back and figure out how to stop the conditions that provide the incentives to come here. And if we need to change law, let's change law.
Do you have a comment, Dan?
Yeah, just, I mean, we have to look at the big picture here. Is this sustainable? Can we keep doing this? And we have to take some measures to address the problem. And it is a problem for us and for these young people. And we have to address it, and we have to look long-term. And, again, we have to somehow work to make their conditions better where they're at. But, you know, Adam called earlier and said we shouldn't get involved any place. So what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? I think we have a responsibility as a world power to address this issue, and I don't think allowing them to come through our borders and leaving their families is the right answer.
So what do you see happening with this issue, Dan Kopanky? Do you think we're going to have some children from Central America in Wisconsin?
Well, we have to we have to take care of them. We have to deal with them. I mean, these are innocent victims of their circumstances, and we have to take care of them. But we need real strong leadership on this issue, the border issue, the immigration issue, and we haven't had that, and that's what we need.
Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful if the Republican Congress would act on immigration as well.
We are talking with Georgia Durst Lottie, a professor of political science at Beloit College, and Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse. Our two guests from different perspectives talking with us about the top news in politics this week. It's our Week in Review. Coming up after the break, we will talk about Governor Walker calling for the repeal of Common Core standards in Wisconsin and other top developments in the race for governor. That's coming up next here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. Time now for our Week in Review quiz. There was some bad news for Door County growers this week. Several crops, including cherry trees, apple trees, and grapevines, took a severe beating on Monday night. What caused the damage? So what caused some significant damage to some Door County crops this week? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are going to give you just 5 minutes or so to call in or email your answer. We will randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers, and the winner is entitled to some fabulous prize from Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, so let's move on and talk about some other news of the week. Governor Walker issued a very brief statement late yesterday calling on the state legislature to pass a bill next year to repeal the Common Core educational standards. He says they should be replaced by standards, quote, set by the people of Wisconsin. So what do you think the legislature should do about this, starting with Georgia Durst Lottie?
Well, as someone who sat on the school board in Evansville for 6 years while we dealt with No Child Left Behind, President Bush's signature education legislation, and we grappled with putting Common Core in place with Wisconsin working hard to put its own stamp on that curriculum and spent lots and lots of money, time, and teacher effort trying to put the whole program in place, develop the K-12 curriculum with measurable standards and everything that comes with this. I think it's electioneering politics to toss this out there now. It's popular. I resisted some of what was part of that Common Core and No Child Left Behind as a school board member, thinking Wisconsin, in fact, could do a better job than many of the other states in the nation. And it just right now, the system is in place. We can tweak it around the edges, but to replace the whole thing makes no sense to me.
Dan Kopanky, does it make sense to you?
Does. I agree with the governor, and I agree that it should be local, certainly statewide and local, and not come from the feds. And we have had a history of wonderful education here in Wisconsin, and we really don't need bureaucrats from Washington tell us how we should be teaching our children.
Well, Tom on Facebook.
Well, this was Republican legislation.
Yeah, I don't think it's good for Wisconsin, and again, I agree with the governor in that it should come from the locals and it should come from the state.
Yeah, so why is it not good for Wisconsin, Dan?
Because, again, we've had a history here in Wisconsin of a wonderful education system from K-12 through 12 through, our tech schools and our university system. We really have been doing a wonderful job here, can do better. We spend a lot of money on education, as we all know, and we've had good results. And so I just don't feel that we need some standards coming from Washington or outside of Wisconsin tell us how we should be teaching our children.
Yeah. So what about the whole idea of having a national standard so we can kind of know if, you know, that all children are getting a similar education and you have something to compare it to? Isn't that the whole point, Georgia Gerislotti?
That is the whole point, and we certainly have seen truly awful public education in some states and very uneven quality across Wisconsin when the state is not stepping up to bring good public education to places with low property values and other conditions that make it hard to have the same kind of good public education that, for example, happens in many of the wealthier suburbs around Milwaukee. I am the product of very good public education in Wisconsin. Perhaps Dan is too. And I applaud good public education in Wisconsin. There is some logic to making sure kids across the country have at least a baseline. I believe Wisconsin can work with the Common Core and make it even better, and that's what I would advocate that we do.
Yeah, Tom on Facebook writes, I would like to hear more about what Walker thinks is a suitable replacement before serious talks about repealing Common Core take place. I'm getting tired of lawmakers that like to tear down ideas without proposing their own. So what would it be replaced with, Dan?
Well, I'm not sure what the governor has in mind as a proposal to replacement. But, you know, getting to George's point about some national standards, you know, many of the states are doing a wonderful job, including Wisconsin. So if the feds want to get involved, it seems to me that they should be involved with those states who are not up to standard in their education, and that's where the effort should be.
Yeah, we have Gary on Facebook who writes, Common Core in principle seems logical until it becomes so expansive that it dominates the curriculum to the point where teachers just teach for the test, which is bound to happen eventually. So what about that, Georgia?
Teaching to the test is a real problem. My brother teaches elementary school. He is frustrated at certain points when he can't do innovative and creative, especially science education, because of the need to make sure the kids, survive well on the test. It's a challenge, but to undo what's in place right now, rather than to incrementally make it better and hold standards for the entire state that ensure all of Wisconsin children are well taught, I think is a mistake. These things take enormous costs for the school districts, and we need to approach any changes with a really thoughtful alternative to what's there right now.
We are talking with Georgia Gerislotti, a professor of political science at Beloit College, and Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse and owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team, about the top stories in state, national, and international politics on some state issues right now, and welcoming your input on Common Core or perhaps the latest news in the race for governor. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take a look at some of the latest issues on the campaign trail in the race for governor. Governor Walker's campaign did release a new ad criticizing Mary Burke for outsourcing jobs when she was an executive at Trek Bicycle. Let's take a listen to the ad first and then get our guest to respond to it.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your fortune grow? By making millions of dollars, sending jobs overseas that could have been done in Wisconsin to countries where women and children might work up to 12 hours a day, earning only $2 an hour.
Only $2 an hour? Interesting.
To be continued.
You mean there's more?
Yes, so much more.
All right. Georgia, you first. Your reaction.
Well, of course, this is factually untrue because she was not executive when this happened. And I think the business community should be upset by the suggestion that somehow any company is going to compete globally and not have any parts, which is what this case is about, rather than direct jobs for Trek Bicycle itself. You know, the global marketplace dictates certain operations patterns if a company is going to remain profitable and keep the 1,000 jobs that Trek Bicycle proudly has here. So it's factually untrue. It's election politics. It's the kind of ad that leads to a pox on both their houses and tends to suppress voters. And I think that's what we have going on here. It is not accurate.
Yeah, Brooke is a former executive at Trek, a company that started in the 70s by her father in Waterloo. But she says she was not involved with the decisions to ship Trek jobs overseas. So, Dan, your reaction first to this ad.
Well, I don't think that having jobs overseas by Trek is unique just to Trek. I think there, as Georgia alluded to, there are many companies that do this. And some of them do it to save jobs in their own state, Wisconsin. So I think she makes a valid point there. And I think that at the end of the day here, as far as the campaign is concerned, it's going to boil down to fiscal responsibility, balancing their budget, the deficit that we had, returning, I believe, up to $2 billion to the taxpayers. Those are the kind of things that, at the end of the day, when they go into the booth, will resonate with the voters, and they'll vote their pocketbook. So This is campaign type stuff. It'll be important to some people and not important to others. But overall, I think it's the big picture again, where Wisconsin stands today versus where Wisconsin stood 4 years ago, that will move the voters.
John Burke, who is the president of Trek Bicycle Corporation and the brother of candidate Mary Burke, says Republican Governor Scott Walker's latest campaign ad is false and should be taken down. He says that Walker should be embarrassed by the ad that infers Mary Burke made decisions while at Trek about locating jobs overseas. He says he made those decisions, his sister did not. And he also says that the ad implies that Trek employs children overseas, and that is also false. He wants the ad taken down. Dan, should it be taken down?
Well, I don't know all the facts here behind this. I'm not sure it should be taken down, but again, is this an ad that's going to resonate with voters? I'm going to question that.
Mm-hmm. And a Walker campaign spokesperson said, though, that there is no disputing the fact that Mary Burke made millions of dollars off of shipping Wisconsin jobs overseas. Georgia.
Well, you know, they're not assembling the bikes overseas. They are buying parts for their bikes that are manufactured in factories that they check out to make sure that the workers are treated well, that they follow proper labor standards. They have very high standards for who gets to make parts for them. They've kept lots of jobs in Wisconsin, have expanded. They're one of our success stories. I think this is going to redound back on the governor in ways that he doesn't really anticipate.
Yeah, this ad also comes on the heels of a report from a Madison TV station that WEDIC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, did give money to two companies that taxpayer money that shipped jobs overseas. And Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca, who sits on the WEDIC Board of Directors, is calling on the agency to take immediate steps to ensure that it does not provide financial assistance to companies that are sending Wisconsin jobs overseas. So is Peter Barca right, Dan Kopanky?
Well, I think you have to, again, I hope that this board looks at, giving out dollars on a case-by-case basis, and if some of these dollars are going to companies who are doing some business overseas, but again, the health of their company here in Wisconsin is dependent on some of these funds to grow, I think that's the bottom line that, that this board has to look at. And so some of that money, some of these businesses, again, doing business overseas is not unique to Burke or any other company. I mean, there's a lot of companies that do this. So I just think that we have to look at this at a case-by-case basis and then make a determination what's best for Wisconsin.
Georgia?
I think we need to be very suspicious every time we hear this easy-to-say phrase, ship jobs overseas. As Dan suggests, it's way more complicated than that, and we need to be careful about that. On the other hand, I would say that we really needs to be more successful. This was a signature change of this governor. He ran on making all these jobs, and his change in our Department of Commerce was going to be the way he really put the state in partnership with businesses, and it's just been one disaster after another. So we would all benefit in the state of Wisconsin if this part of the government worked better. So let's help get this working better.
Well, let's move on to some other big state stories that have national implications. State Democrats called on Governor Walker to drop the opposition to same-sex marriage, to not appeal the court ruling that that overturned Wisconsin's ban against same-sex marriage, saying that this is a waste of money, that the courts are eventually going to side with marriage equality. Mark Pocan, meanwhile, slammed Governor Walker for saying at the at a governor's conference that the Republicans are not fighting gay marriage, but he's appealing the state decision. So, Dan Kopanky, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think the governor is referring back to a vote that was taken recent years by the people of Wisconsin, where a pretty large majority voted that marriage in Wisconsin should be between one man and one woman, and the governor is going to fight for that, and so is Van Hollen. They are fighting for that, and that's what the people has instructed them to do, so to speak, a few years ago. So it's not as surprising that they're going to fight this, because it seems that's the wishes of the people. And again, the will of the people is the law of the land is in the governor's conference room.
Yeah, but Dan, he says that Republicans really aren't fighting this.
Well, I mean, we are in Wisconsin, obviously. But nationwide, I think that, you know, our economy, our jobs, where we're headed as a country takes precedence, and I agree with that, and I think Governor Walker agrees with that, is growing Wisconsin's economy takes precedence over all our efforts fighting this marriage amendment. But they still are going to fight it because the will of the people voted 4, 5, 6 years ago that I think almost 60% voted that marriage is between one man and one woman.
All right. So, Georgia, your thoughts?
I think it's not surprising he's fighting it because it puts him in good stead with conservatives. Yes, we passed that a while ago. It was part of the national coordinated conservative effort to turn out very conservative voters around this issue to help create the national Republican majority. This is part of that effort. We're seeing it now. The tide is certainly going against it, which puts Republicans in a tough spot. He should quit fighting it. It's unconstitutional. Let's get on with the really important issues, as Dan suggested. Let's have some jobs in Wisconsin.
Well, here's another national Wisconsin case with national implications. Attorney General Eric Holder says he expects the U.S. Department of Justice will get involved in the federal lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's voter ID. Holder made reference to Wisconsin's lawsuit in an interview with ABC News, in which he was asked about challenges to state voting laws. I don't know. Do you think that the Department of Justice, Georgia, should get involved in Wisconsin's voter ID case?
Yes, because of the way it comes down to suppress voting. There is no evidence that supports making poor people, people of color, students, come up with this kind of voter ID. When Van Hollen was asked about it, he totally switched the subject. He knows what kind of shaky ground this law is on. And again, part of national effort for the Republican majority, which is, you know, partisan politics, rather than good democracy and good governance. I wish we'd get back to good governance and good democracy.
Yeah, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen said, perhaps holders should worry more about immigration instead of a law that does nothing more than ask a voter to show a photo ID. But Dan Kopanky, does it concern you that the federal government's going to get involved in Wisconsin's voter ID law?
Well, the Attorney General has a few other things on his plate that need immediate attention, and he seems to be looking the other way. The immigration crisis is one. The IRS scandal is quite another, and he seems to refuse to address that or want to address that. And it smells of scandal. How do we lose all these emails? How do we lose the disk, the backup? How has this all happened? The American people really want answers. If we can't trust our government and our agencies within our government, there is real trouble on the horizon, and he should be addressing these issues rather than worrying about a voter ID law here in the state of Wisconsin.
Very quickly, new figures from the Walker administration show that the state has spent more than three times as much on the security of Governor Walker in 2013 than it did to protect Governor Doyle. Walker's office says the extra cost came from providing security to Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, in which the state had not done before. Any problems, Dan Kopanky, with the amount of money we're spending to protect Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clayfish?
In the light of the numerous death threats over the last 3 or 4 years that have come, you know, Governor's way and Lieutenant Governor's way, I don't think there's any question that we need to protect them and spend the money to do so.
And Georgia Drislotti, any issues with this?
Sadly, no.
Yeah. Well, let's thank or congratulate Thomas in Madison. He is the winner of this week's Week in Review quiz. We asked what caused significant damage to Door County crops this week, and the answer: hail, a big hailstorm. The Door County Sheriff's Department says grape-sized hail fell in Sevastopol on Monday night. The stones were reportedly up to 4 inches deep in some spots. It looked like a snow cover. One farmer said that the hail knocked a 4-foot corn down to 1 foot. An orchard manager said 10 of her 15 apple trees were ruined. Fortunately, most growers said they do have insurance against the hail. So a very freakish hailstorm that had a lot of ground cover this week in Door County. Otherwise, it was a cool week for summer, but the heat and humidity is supposed to return next week. So how do you like your summers, Dan, in Georgia? Everything going okay for you weather-wise?
A little bit too much rain. But parts of the
perfect
country
weather.
Need rain, so we shouldn't complain, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I hope you both have wonderful weekends. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Georgia Drislotti, a professor of political science at Beloit College, and Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse and owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Justin Williams for producing this program. Thank you for listening. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.